again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And I want to shout loudly to you saints that love the Lord. And I want to ask you if you've ever looked into the little letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. And chapter 1 teaches us a great deal. Chapter 2 teaches us more. But when you come to chapter 3, you discover that the Lord Jesus is speaking through the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Colossae. And he says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, let's take those four verses for a moment or two, and let's look at this, because we discover three tenses in the union with God's dear Son. The first is in the past. Ye were raised with Christ. That's the past tense. And then we read of the present tense. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And then there is the future tense. Ye shall appear with him in glory. Three tenses: the past, the present, and the future. Now, in the past, when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you put your full trust in him, and you recognize that God on his throne predetermined that you might come to the love of God and made it possible for you to repent and believe and come to the gospel and receive Christ as your Savior. When that happened, you were raised from the dead. You're no longer dead in trespasses and in sin. You are no longer latched into the natural man. You have been changed and changed into the likeness of his glory. There comes a day when you will stand with Christ in his glory. Now, that's past. You were raised. Jesus took hold of your hand, took hold of your heart, took hold of the rest of your life, and raised it from the debris and the brokenness of sin. Then God did something else. Your life, here we read, is hid with Christ. That is, you are in Jesus and you're hid in Christ in God. This is a peculiar thing and different. This is an amazing thing and wonderful. When we are belonging to the Lord Jesus, our lives are latched into his. We become born again. We become a part of the life of Jesus. And because we come part of that life, we are hidden in Jesus, in God. And then we find what our future might be. We find that ye shall appear with him in glory, with Christ. All comes through union with him. Our union is in Jesus. It's terribly important, or else we will not understand God. There are three aspects of this union: raised from death, hid in God, revealed in glory. That is, we see raised in death, that's the origin. Hid in God, that's its source. And its consummation is revealed in glory. Let's look at the origin of life. Raised from death, the positive fact, the spiritual resurrection, which is told us clearly in John 5:25, every genuine conversion to Christ is such a thing. How absolutely stunning this becomes when we recognize that we are a people raised with the Lord Jesus. Yet Jesus had not been crucified by the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. And yet way back in John's Gospel, and verse 25, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Isn't that remarkable? Way before he was crucified, most likely in the end of the first year of his ministry, Jesus said this. And so the Apostle Paul records it to the church at Colossae, and says this is going to happen. This is a positive fact. Then we find that there is a primary fact of our new life. There is no living before being raised from the dead. Until we are raised from the dead, we are living in death. We cannot educate death to life. We are without conversion and can have no real service or fellowship or membership with God until we are raised from the dead. Now, in order to do that, we must recognize that the wages of sin is death, and that death controls our lives. Though we are alive in the body, we are dead in the spirit. And until we recognize that primary fact, we are dead. Now let's look at the next thing. Here is an abiding fact. And in Romans 6 and verse 9, we discover Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. There's a spiritual resurrection needed. And when it happens to us as individuals, it becomes an abiding fact. The beautiful thing is, just as Jesus can die no more, nor can we. We have life everlasting, life eternal, and we cannot die again. How precious! Our spiritual life continues in heaven. It goes on into infinity. From now, forever. Isn't that precious? And it is more than riches of earth, or treasures of ocean, or garlands of popularity. It's none of those things. That is not what is being spoken of here. This is resurrection. Now, in order to be resurrected, I have to admit I'm dead. And the admission that God needs to hear from every one of us is this: Lord, I recognize I'm dead in trespasses and in sin. Let's look at the source of life. We are hid in Christ. The prepositions that we read here, that we are with and in Christ, we need to understand because they express the man with Christ, or man's union with Christ. This is a positive thing. With means our union in the sense of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious it is to say, I am a child of the King. A child of the King. That's me. Oh, I shall never grow up. I shall be a Peter Pan into eternity. And for all eternity, I shall stand with Jesus. My identification is with him. The word in tells us our union in the sense of position and possession in him. I was dead. I would be buried with Jesus. And then as he rose, so he is quickened from the dead. And I am quickened from the dead, risen from the dead. I am hidden in Christ. I appear with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did Jesus die? Most assuredly he died. He died in my stead. Oh yes, this body will die and I shall have that dreadful experience. I don't think it will be the happiest of experiences, but I don't honestly know. Pain is a dreadful thing and drives a man to a place where he wants to relieve the pain. Some people commit suicide because of pain. Others cry because of pain. Others lay in beds of anxiety and anguish because of pain. I don't know how I shall die, but I know that I shall die eventually unless Jesus comes first. And I shall be buried, but I shall be buried in Jesus. I have an identification with him, and the old life is gone now. And I will be quickened, so we are, to newness of life through identification with Jesus. Was Jesus raised from the dead? Yes. And so I shall be raised from the dead. Is he now hidden? So are we, insofar that our true life is concerned. Our life is hidden in Jesus. Now, will we appear in glory with him? Yes, we will. Because the scripture says so, so shall we be with him in glory. read that fourth verse again and discover the teaching of that verse, then you also will appear with Jesus in glory. Oh my, how precious this is. Now, the word in tells me that there is an expression of our position and possession in Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, please turn there if you have your Bible open in Colossians. Go to verse 1 and you'll discover verse 2. Paul says, I'm writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. I'm writing to the saints. Notice also that he says in verse 4, we have heard of your faith. So I need to have faith and I need to be reconciled. Look at verse 22 of chapter 1. For he says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Jesus is going to take hold of me and show me to his Father in heaven and say, this is one for whom I died, and he now is reconciled to you. Back in verse 14 of this same chapter, we discover we have redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God says, I remember you have sinned, and I have forgiven your sin. So my memory, I will remember your sins no more. What a precious thing this is. You know, I don't easily forget what a person's done that's wronged me. I may forgive him, but we use an expression that is all too elaborate and absolutely incorrect. We say we've got to learn to forgive and forget. We don't forget. Now, I may forgive you, but the only way I can show you that forgiveness is not by forgetting the transgression that you have transgressed against me, but by the grace that doesn't allow me to bring it back. You see, grace is a great, wonderful place to be living in. I am redeemed. I am reconciled. I have faith in God. I've become a saint. Then I have to walk. And in chapter 2 and verse 6, I read this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What did he say to the people who were crucifying him and who were lifting him up between heaven and earth and creating so much pain? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. While the two thieves on each side of him cursed those that nailed them to the gibbet, Jesus said nothing. And as a lamb that was brought to the slaughter, so opened he not his mouth. When we are going through great excruciating pain, it is sometimes within us to cry out. But notice in chapter 2 and verse 10, where the apostle says, you are complete in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus said, don't be concerned about what man shall do unto you. They may kill your body, but I'll tell you who you have to be concerned about, that when the body is killed, the one that can take your spirit and cast it into a lost eternity. Fear him, said Jesus. Now, it's important for us to see this. The everlasting life that we now have is an indissoluble life. And I have that wonderful life, so I'm called a saint. And saints for Jesus are the people that have an indissoluble life. Heaven's undying rapture will consist of the consummation and continuity of this oneness with Jesus. We shall respond with separateness to him, with communion and prayer and humble serving. Remember, our true life is hid with him in God. Our joint possession with Christ is amazing. It's an amazing thing. For instance, it's rather like a lady that maybe doesn't have very much money in the bank or in her purse. She marries a millionaire. And once she's married to that millionaire, she is rich. She has riches untold. She can travel anywhere, go anywhere, be anything. She can buy what she wants. She has plenty of money. Such are the riches is a poor illustration, but such is the wonderful money or the riches. I prefer that word from the scripture, the riches of glory. We have everything we shall ever need in Jesus. We have a consummation, and it's beautiful. We are hid with him in God. Now let's look at this hidden life quickly, as we're getting through this so fast, but let's look at this hidden life in chapter 3 and verse 3. For you he died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice how the apostle puts this, because it's important. The most prized are the most hidden. A few days ago, I was looking in an old bag I had. It's faded and it looks dreadful, but it's a very capable bag, and it fits into the measurements that I can carry on board an aeroplane. And so I dug it out, and I was looking at it, and it looked pretty derelict. And I thought, well, I can polish it, but I don't have time. And then as I shook it around, I noticed something was inside. So I opened the bag, and I poured out the something. There were two old watches that had been discarded years ago, but one is a gold watch. Not good gold, but it's a gold watch. And I looked at it, and when I bought it, I knew that it was a treasure, and I've kept it, and I didn't know where it had gone, but it was in this bag. It was a wonderful thing. It was an expensive, I thought, watch, and it was one of those first watches that came out electrically driven, and it did all sorts of wonderful things, and the circuit broke down, and the manufacturer replaced it twice, and then they said they weren't going to replace it again. And so I kept the watch, and the circuits are broken, and though one has been welded, it doesn't work. But I keep the watch. It's a personal treasure. It's one of my most prized possessions, but it was hidden in a bag. Gold is hidden deep in the earth. A diamond is deposited deep in veins that we don't easily see. An emerald is in the granite vein. Pearls are in the tropical waters of Mexico and Madagascar and places like that. And sometimes in the very body of the oyster, the pearl remains. Do you see that the Lord Jesus wants us to be hidden in him? And we are very, very special to him. We are his treasure. He died for us so that we didn't have to die. And he rose again from the dead that we might have everlasting life. We are treasured by him. In the mental realm, we discover that it is the purest of deposits in the emotions. In that outward action, it ever falls short of thought. Faith, love, riches abundant, and the richest virtues are never fully disclosed in speech and conduct. The deepest love can only come from the love that is silent, hidden deep in the heart. Is that where your heart is? In the spiritual realm, there is something deeper than in man, than in the merely mental. The spirit eludes the innermost psychological inquiry and defies the ultimate glorification. The hidden life is the life with motives other than this world, with heavenly aspirings and affinities unintelligible to the earthly mind. It is a life resplendent by hidden manna and secret springs of living water when we're hid in God. New life is our most precious secret. It is neither understood nor recognized by the world. The world knoweth us not, says the Apostle John in 1 John 3 and verse 1. And he that is spiritual is discerned of no man. Notice that when you speak of spiritual things, people that are still natural men and women don't understand us, so don't try to explain. Be what you are for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Be hidden in him. Now, here is a definite fact that you and I need to literally understand. because literally your life has been and still is hidden with Christ in God. And this definite fact now comes into life by the eternal will of God. We are what we are this day, saints of Jesus. It is the product of his electing love toward us from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 3 tells us this. From the beginning of the world, we have been hid in Christ. We have communion with God. Now, the word communion is two English words sort of glued and globbed together. We use the word communion, but it comes from two words that mean common union. Jesus is the common union we have with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It is Jesus that creates that communion for us. And when we are hidden in the predestined life that God has given to us, he has predestined his will, the will of God, to be in us. And it's by the redeeming work of the Son. You see, the first Adam dragged his descendants into sin and to ruin. But the miracle of the incarnate Son of God, the one man who dragged us down, now a new one man, Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, took us out of that life of sin and ruin and degradation and gives us new life. That new life takes us on into glory and into eternity to spend the rest of eternity with him. And it is by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. My car needs gas to run, and I need the Holy Spirit to live. And I need to take the car to the petrol pump or the gas station every day or however often when it's running out of gas, and I have to have a re-pumping of gas to make it go. So I need to go to Jesus day by day, moment by moment, kept in his love. There are two hymns that absolutely catch my imagination. The first is, I need thee every hour I need thee. It's a beautiful old hymn, but somebody said, you know, that's a lovely hymn, but it's not truthful. And so they wrote the hymn, moment by moment I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment I've peace from above. And I need to understand this being kept in the peace of God. I need to understand I need to be hid with Christ. And in that hiding place, I need to have communion with Jesus. This common union that I have is life-giving. For he gives me his Spirit freely. Jesus said, God the Father gives you gifts. You ordinary fathers give gifts to your children. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I need that infusion of the Spirit of Christ, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, year by year. It is the power of God in us. Jesus said to his disciples on his resurrection day, all power is given unto me in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth. All power, all power. Hell could not hold him. The gates of hell could not restrict him. Heaven could not refuse him. He is the Son of God. And when he said, Father, now lettest thy Son be glorified, as with the glory that we had together before I came on this trip into this world. That's my sort of ghastly paraphrase. But oh my, how wonderful it is. Jesus, you may commune with Jesus because you will live with Jesus forever and forever in perfect harmony and purity. Oh, dear friend, great grace has been given us. Great love of God has been poured into us. Are you hidden in Jesus? Our gracious Father, we ask you to bless these people that have heard this word. And although it may be complicated, and maybe it wasn't simply put by me, but oh Lord, in your Spirit and in your power, wing the words into the hearts of men and women, that they may trust you, love you, and live for you forever hidden in Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.